This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Scoop it a boo. Da 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 da.
Scoop it a boo. Da da da. Da 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 da.
Woo!
Da da. Oh, da. Oh, da.
Bring it to the runway.
She brings it every time.
I don't. Why are you gagging, sir?
This is Drag Her.
The one and only ever in the world, RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Manu Agapian.
And I am Halle Berry. Ooh. And I'm so happy to be guesting on this podcast. I've never done one
Halle,
before.
Halle, you are. Yes. Honestly, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for your performance in Monsters Ball.
Thank you.
That's what won you that little Oski, huh?
Yes, I got that little Oski. I had to have sex with Billy Ray Thornton.
And you deserved it.
Thank you.
And you had
thank
to say,
you.
Can you make me feel good? I just want to feel good.
Can you make me feel good? I just want to feel good. Nobody ever asks me to do that anymore.
That's a shame.
Time has passed.
That's a freaking shame, Halle. Well, thank you for joining us. You're on the only drag podcast in the whole world.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to finally break into podcasts after winning awards.
Yeah, break into this. Isn't that crazy that Halle could just, she could just walk up to any company and say, give me a podcast
truly,
right now.
Truly, and they would just give it to her.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's like, there's like a ton of people like that where it's just like Brad Pitt. Imagine Brad Pitt went to HeadGum and was like, I've been thinking about a podcast. I'm going to be like, I mean, yes, you don't have to do anything. Just talk.
Oh, his should be eating while hot. So it should be him eating on mic because he's very hot at it.
He is very hot. But like, if I wanted to just like make some easy money as Brad Pitt, mm-hmm. I would eat on the mic mm-hmm. and that would be the free feed with ads. And then I would have a Patreon paywall where you can see the video of me being hot while I
eat.
Honestly, Brad, if you do it, you got to give me a cut. That's a great idea.
That's good. And you make a Patreon exclusive track
mm-hmm.
where the bass is turned up. So then you can take that track and put it against your muff and get his chewing sounds to get you off.
I'm here for it. Yeah. That's it for me.
That's it. Okay.
Well, now that we've figured out Brad Pitt, yes, should we get into this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race?
We should.
All Stars 5, episode 3.
Because you're on it, Nicole.
Yeah.
I'm so gagged.
This is my second appearance on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, Ru said, "Who do you think you are, LaToya?" And it made me laugh really hard.
That's great.
Yeah, it's honestly a dream come true, because for years I would be like, can we just like keep asking if I could be on it? And then when I signed with a new agency, this was maybe like 4 years ago, I said to the signing agent, he was like one of the partners, he was like, "Well, we've explained everything we can do for you. What would you like us to do for you?" Like, aside from what we explained. And I was like, honestly, I will go down on everybody in this room, men, women alike, if you get me on RuPaul's Drag Race. And this man looked at me, threw his head back, and was like, "I mean, I will try."
Well, we said, well, what you said is also a violation of the HR code, but we will.
Oh, sure, sure. This was before Me Too, before we couldn't be banned in the workplace.
Right.
But it was a joke.
But that's an excellent ask. And I think now you're canon. Now you need to come back every season. You give good advice. You're funny. You're perfect.
Thank you.
I'm biased, but you're perfect.
I had such a good time. This time around was more fun because I was looser and I wasn't afraid of the first time. I was like, what if they never ask me back? What if this is my last shot? And it's something I've explained on the show, why it's hard to parody something that you revere. It's because you're afraid of making fun of it. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of like letting loose because I revered the show so much.
Right.
But this time around, I was like, it's All Stars again. And I'll know the queens, and let's have a good time. And I had the best time.
Yeah, man. I think you did. You were explosive and fun, and you gave great advice, which is a hard balance to strike and make into the edit. Like, that's awesome.
I was surprised that it made it in.
Yeah. It was fucking all cool. Right. Okay.
Should we talk about this episode?
One thing I need to talk about that's a thing from last week, which literally, speaking of keeping me up at night, I was thinking about this, and I was like, wait a second. Last week, Cracker said she couldn't sleep because she wanted to write on Gina's name in. Yeah. Now, here's why that pissed me off more. It just bothered me, because it's like, you couldn't sleep because you weren't able to write in a vote that wouldn't have passed anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's like losing sleep over Jill Stein not winning.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Your vote wasn't gonna count anyways, and you have the audacity to say you lost sleep over your vote that was never gonna pass. That's all.
That's like losing sleep over worrying about Santa Claus. Uh-oh, yours was better.
That's like Santa Claus not coming in July. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're saying Santa Claus didn't come in the middle of summer. You're
I
wanted him to come. It's like, but you knew he wasn't going to come.
Yes. It was just one of those things where it was so unreal to be like, whoa, wait a minute. Why are you bringing this up? This is so rude. Mm-mm. And then seeing the episode before and then being on this episode, like when I gave her this advice, I came in cold and I didn't know why she was like spiraling. But now I understand why. And now I would have been like, well, if you were worrying about yourself, this wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
Not just like, just exponentially being like, worry about you, do whatever the fuck.
Right.
It would have been like, if you had been worrying about yourself, you wouldn't feel like this.
That's true. That's true. It's a little bit of self-created drama.
Yes.
And I understand that that is, like, she doesn't want, she certainly, I don't believe that she wants this, but it is a situation she created. So she's culpable. She's culpable.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
Yeah.
Culpable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dictionary. No, but it's just, she's real. She's, she Yeah, you didn't know that she had basically reaped what she'd sown.
Mm-hmm.
But you give great advice anyways, and that's good advice no matter what, which is, like, keep your eyes on your own damn paper.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're gonna act a fool, own it.
Like Derek Barry, whenever Derek yep. Barry was being ridiculous,
yep.
it was truly so self-righteous and, like, fully believed in what they were saying
yes.
that I loved it. I was like, I'm like, they need to figure out a way to bring Derek back.
Oh my God, they need to bring her back. I'm missing her terribly. And
it's so funny. She's so funny.
She's so good. And I think this episode, I almost wonder if, because I felt like this episode was what, like, the first crazy episode of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just there. I felt the massage of production on some of the elements of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it was brought about because this episode starts with everyone voting for the same girl to go home.
Yes. Everyone did vote for Angina because Angina gave up.
Yeah.
And then Angina's mirror message was so cute. It was like, I can't wait to be friends after this.
Aww.
Angina is such a cutie patootie, to quote the great Rosie O'Donnell. She is a cutie patootie, and I adore her. What a treat Angina is.
To quote Rosie O'Donnell, she's a cutie patootie, and here's a koosh.
Here's a koosh for you and Tom Cruise. Isn't it so funny
that
we all just were like, yes, Rosie O'Donnell loves Tom Cruise.
I know. That is so funny. It's like two beards covering for one another.
Yes. Aww. And it's just like, it sucks that we live in a country where, like, a talk show host can't just be like, women is what I like.
Right.
Women.
Right?
Or
then they do, and then they're Ellen, and then they become the thing they hate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're talking about it. Mariah says she'll never be in the bottom again. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You tell her.
Yeah, those are the famous last words.
Famous last words. Jujubee wants a corn dog. How funny. I don't know.
Jujubee loves corn dog. I love Jujubee. Jujubee is so fun.
She's so
funny.
I mean, she's just so quotable. In this whole episode, she's just quote after quote after quote.
Mm-hmm. So their main stage challenge has little... It's so funny. I just realized maybe 2 years ago that that first video from Rue was Clues. I thought it was just like a fun interlude, a fun break. But we get a fun clue, like Rumata in.
What? You didn't know it was setting up what's gonna...
Sure didn't.
I love you.
I had no idea why they were... But then also, I feel good about not knowing.
I love that.
Why give hints and then fully explain it later?
I mean, that's a really good point. That is a good point.
Right?
It's also
funny. I thought
Rue
was just, like, exercising puns. Like, I thought she was having a good time.
They also used to, like, have people guess more. And, like,
yes.
I loved when the guesses were really wrong. Like, that makes me happy when someone would be like, we're fencing. And they're like, what are you talking about?
We're fencing.
I'm like, no, we're not.
That's so funny.
So they set up, yes, the challenge, which is we're going to have a big old hotel.
Huh?
Hotel moment.
Yes, it was very similar to the club challenge of All Stars last season four.
Correct.
But instead of a club, they have to create a Rutel. And the teams are India, Jujubee, and Alexis Mateo. We have Blair and Mayhem. And then we have...
Shay, Cracker, Mariah.
Shay, yes. Oh
now,
my God, that like escaped me.
Can I say before this, because just a little before this, there's some Cracker versus Alexis drama, which I feel like we have
to...
Oh,
yes.
It's the whole episode, but like, can we dig in? When it comes up, I thought it was so delicious. Even if Alexis is wrong, I thought it was fun TV when she's like, no one buys it. No one buys what you're saying. And I liked when Mayhem was like, I don't believe none of it.
Yeah, I like that the girls this season are very much saying what they feel.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, they're playing nice, but also not nice. It truly, this season of All Stars is giving me the flavor of old Drag Race.
Yep.
Which I love.
Yes.
But it's just so weird because like the fandom gets so angry and mean towards queens.
Yeah.
But like,
the fans I love are nasty.
It. Yeah, right? Like, I love it. I love the drama. I watch it. And then I turn off my TV and I go about my life.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so wild. Like, Alexis Mateo posted something that was just like all the mean things that people had said to her. And she was like, I know it's skin deep, but like, this, it's not, it sucks.
It's crazy.
And it's like, yeah.
I hate that people are saying horrible things to Alexis. I saw her post recently and I was like, that is so stupid. And it says so much about how fans are willing to attack queens of color. And it's disgusting and there's just no excuse for it. Imagine watching Game of Thrones and then being like, I'm mad at that dragon. I'm gonna go on his account. I'm gonna go on the dragon's account and tell him he's a bitch.
I mean, yeah, it's truly the same thing. It's all made up.
Yes.
Yeah, like, it's so crazy.
And you know, it is like a game of murder. You're right. Like it's a game of mafia or murder, and people play it differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alexis is taking space, if you will.
Mm.
And I think that's a strategy she's allowed to partake in.
Yes.
It could go either way for her because this episode, she's kind of playing both sides of it where she's saying, like, if you're not trustworthy, I'll vote you out. But also we know her vote for Shay is shady.
It is shady, but she's also playing the game the way the game is meant to play. It is right out of a Naomi Smalls playbook where you get the competition out of there because life's not fair. And it, like, after she sent home Manila, she was also getting, like, hate shit. And I was like, right. Man, like, it's a television show. What, the queen you want to win, if she wins, what do you get out of it?
Right.
Are you getting paid?
Right.
Do you have job security?
Right.
It's... Do you have a new free apartment? Like, what are you fucking getting out of it? Yeah. Watch the show and take a nap.
Yeah. Did you orchestrate some Alan Chuck dot travel fucking cruise tour for her? I don't think so. Yeah.
Alan Chuck dot travel. What happened to Alan Chuck dot travel?
They're bad. They were a bad company. Funny. They were bankrupting people. They were not giving people their refunds. They had to go away. They had to go away.
Oh, Alan Chuck. Uh-oh.
But don't trust
them. It sucks when, like, black companies, gay-owned companies, just like minority-owned companies go under.
I know.
Because you're like, ugh, they can't even get that right. And it's like, well.
Yep.
Cisgendered white people / other people, they get a lot of, well, no, I specifically mean white people. They get a lot white of chances people. To fail.
They do.
Before they, you know, and it's they like, do. We don't give the same luxury to different people.
It's so funny how, like, and obviously we're seeing this a lot right now in the news, but like, if you fail within the system's made up rules, you are protected.
Yeah.
But if you, there's so, like, you know, there's so many people who are protected, who are usually white and rich, for breaking the rules in the way the system allows you to, like becoming bankrupt via Chapter 11 or something like that, mm-hmm. where you're like, I stole everyone's money, but I did it. Then I went through the system. It,
yeah. But then I told everyone that I took their money.
Right.
So, okay. So bankruptcy through Chapter. It's so crazy. Like, I did this thing. Oh my God. This is like maybe a year ago. But it was an all black production, mm-hmm. and I was so excited to do it. And then it ran so poorly. And then I was like, man, black people can't do anything. And then I was like, wait, Nicole, that's what they want you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we haven't gotten enough chances. So then I was like, then like, I like softened a little and I was like a little bit more malleable. And then I was, and then things started to like run a little smoother. Cause I feel like everyone had that moment where they're like, God, then they're like, wait. Okay. It was just so wild. Everything is nuts.
I am with you. And I think that's why this is an important conversation in this episode. Like, I think Alexis Mateo taking space is an example of a queen of color making space for herself in a game that's usually stacked against them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am here for it. I am here for it as opposed to her being a queen who's like, well, I'm just happy to be here.
Yes.
Like in Angina.
Yes. Yes, Angina was happy to be at the table.
Exactly.
When she didn't realize that space was cleared for her at the table.
Yep.
Like, she, the table wanted her there. It it made room for her. She didn't need to fight anymore. And I feel like she thought she had to keep fighting. And that's why she became so defeated.
Yeah.
It's also interesting because, like, Alexis Mateo, people have been coming after her and saying, like, racial slurs to her. The Black queens all have racial slurs thrown at them. The only thing I've ever read about, like, Derek Barry is, like, your drag is bad.
Right.
And I'm like, so why doesn't Derek Barry get the same treatment as queens of color? Like, and then, like, all the stuff I saw online was, like, Cracker's just in her head.
Exactly.
And then they're like, the real villain is Alexis. And I was like, but I mean, Cracker wasn't nice.
Right.
And then Alexis hasn't been nice to Cracker, maybe because of something we haven't seen.
Yeah.
We forget that the show is fully edited.
Right.
I don't know.
The grace we get, we give, I think it, we just have to acknowledge that we give more grace to white and white passing queens. And we are on their journey of mental health, whereas we're just ready to discount queens of color. Now, and whether,
like in season 12, where Gigi Good came for Heidi and Closet's makeup.
Uh-huh.
She had no business, like, why?
Right.
Why? And then, like, she didn't really get any flack for it online.
Right. They were like, she's
helping. But it was like, you just attack. It was like, the way she said it was not helpful.
Right.
It wasn't the nicest.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't hate Gigi Good.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit.
I am too. And vice versa. It was, that was said with Widow. I mean, Widow, of course, got in her head. And maybe had a personal crisis moment. And instead of, I feel like 9 out of 10 people weren't like, we should have been like, oh yeah, she's having an off week. She's going through a lot. They were just like, oh, she's not good enough. She's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Get her out of here.
Get her out of here. It's very interesting, which is why I am here for Alexis being messy. Every queen.
Oh.
That's.
Hello.
Four angel clitties.
Well, it was a real sneeze fit.
Well, the angels in heaven are really scratching their records and thanking you today, Nicole. But I really think it's an important topic. I'm about ready to move on, but I obviously the fact that Alexis is brave enough to do this says everything, and it's proof that she didn't come here to be part of the cast. She she came here to be messy and play the game. And
she's a star.
She's a fucking star. She's a fucking star. And I love it.
Okay.
And I love Cracker too. But you know, we're allowed to poke fun. We're allowed to poke at both of them. I think they're both playing a messy game, and we'll see who it works out for.
Yes. I mean, I think Alexis Mateo. It's working out for her a little bit because Cracker was so subdued during the challenge.
Uh-huh.
It was like really strange to watch.
Talk
I was like,
to me.
I was like, usually she's just so funny, but like things aren't landing. It was interesting because I got to watch each room uninterrupted while they filmed it. We were watching it on monitors. It was fascinating.
How long was the footage of each room?
I would say we were in there for like, maybe like an hour and a half.
Okay. Overall.
Maybe a little longer.
Each room?
Yeah, because.
Overall.
Well, no, overall.
Okay.
So,
okay,
like,
okay.
Each room would do their, like, intro things describing the room.
Uh-huh.
And then I think each room did it. And then, yeah, so each room described what the room was, and then they sent us in.
Right. Amazing. So you got to go in all three rooms. They just kind of featured you in one room.
No. So we only got to, I only
you
got
just
to
got
go
to
in one room.
See it all. Okay.
I got to see it all. So
got
we
it.
Were on a soundstage where there was three rooms next to each other.
Got it. Of course. Okay. And what'd you think being there? What was your favorite room being there?
Honestly, my favorite room was the jungle room. That was Alexis, India, and Juju.
Uh-huh.
I thought it had the most jokes. I thought it was the funniest.
Mm-hmm.
I just truly enjoyed it. I mean, in practicality, no, I'm not sleeping on the fucking floor. You named your bar the pee-pee bar. How funny. It was funny.
Yeah, it seemed
and
funny.
Then,
seemed like a little bit of a, I mean, like the green, it, you know, it looked like a Pier 1 nightmare on television.
Yeah, it truly did.
Yeah.
Anyway, in person, it didn't look much better. None of these look better in person.
No. None of these looked great.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it so much.
It was a joy.
The gold room for me I thought it just was like Club 96.
Oh my God. It was so much like Club 96.
And I was like, huh. And I feel like we all kind of agreed to that.
Yeah.
Or maybe I was just the one who said it. I don't want to speak for anybody else. I think I was the one who was like, this reminds me of Club 96. But yeah, I was just like, what? Why wasn't there like a drag hotel or like a wig hotel or like a heels hotel or a tucking hotel? I was like, if you're a drag queen and you know drag, maybe do draggy stuff.
I would have gone more character heavy. Like even if it was like the Chainsmokers Hotel, you know, are you sick of hotels telling you what you can and can't do in the room? And then you get to be these old tobacco ridden hags. And then like, that's funny and different as opposed to like everyone kind of tried to be Lux in a way that I wasn't.
Yes.
I didn't think that was the funnest way to go, especially 24K. I was like, I think this is fine, but I am 24K. Surprised.
I was like, so now you have a magic mirror? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, if you have a magic mirror, why not do like a Disney themed room or like a like mythical room?
Yeah.
But then it's like, if you're rich, I don't think you need to like keep whispering about richness. I was like, why not lean heavier into it and tell us how much everything cost or tell us how exclusive this, like, this Fabergé egg came all the way from Rome. It cost $40,000 and you can't touch it.
Exactly.
Like, it'd be so funny if, like, everything in the room is so rich that you couldn't touch it.
That's so funny.
So, like, when Michelle and Martin came through, they could be like, don't touch, too much money. That, like, that to me is more fun.
Right.
To be like, I don't know. Or, like, instead of, and then, like, the Golden Girls room, I sit on the main stage, but they cut it because it would make the competition, I think, easier for everybody. But I was like, you cannot parody something you love.
Right.
You cannot do it. You cannot get far enough from the material to see what's actually funny about it. You revere it. You don't want to make fun of it.
Right.
That's like every queen who's ever done Beyonce. You don't want to make fun of Beyonce. God. You love Beyonce.
Oh, I'm getting a little sweepy.
But that being said, if you're like an actual comedian, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, I could parody Beyonce because I figured out what I think is funny about her.
Yes. You think it's that she's sleepy and she farts in her hand. That's what you love.
Yes, and then
love.
She falls right off her chair and her legs will stick up and she has a manic look in her eyes.
Welcome to Tuckahoe Prison for Ladies.
Ew.
Oh, I kind of like a smell. Okay. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked by all the Kenya specifics.
By Kenya Michaels.
Okay. Yes. If you do Golden Girls, you have to go past, even if you do Golden Gals, you need to go past what we know. So you have to go further, not less than what we already
love.
Yes,
and you're also parodying a comedy.
I know.
So it's like Blanche DeVoe. What's her name?
Blanche Devereaux.
Blanche Devereaux, she's a whore.
Yeah.
She's a slut. That's what we know from her. So, like, I want you to, like, Mariah, I need you to, like, not stop look at that man with, like, just, like, savage eyes. I want you to never stop touching him. I want sexual innuendos. I want it to be, like, borderline, like, oh, no.
I want her to
be,
like,
funny.
You have to go further. You're like, you can have all your friends over to the room. The 49ers, the Green Bay Packers, the Chicago Bulls. Like, go past what we know about Blanche. We know she's a whore, so make her a whore that fucks entire football teams.
Yes.
Or add an S. There should have been, like, an STD tester in the room. Because you're like, when it's burning down there, but you still want to have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Go past it, not like.
And then Cracker was Dorothy.
Yeah.
You mean
Rose.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I stayed away from saying anything about their names when I gave critiques because I, like, forget their names all the time.
Sure.
But so she was Rose. And I was like, you have to be dumber. Like,
way dumber.
When you said cheese pie, funny, but like more. So like that cheese pie would hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bea Arthur was played by Shay. And it was like almost, it was like she would set things up and not follow through.
Yeah.
And that bummed me the fuck out because I was like, I feel like you almost have something.
Right. I felt like with Rose, I mean, I love talking this. With Rose, what I would have done is thought about all the amenities that a Today Hotel has and then say stupid stuff about that. For example, being like, this hotel has wireless internet, which apparently is some kind of new fancy girdle you can put on your body.
Yes.
Or whatever. And just make up stupid shit. You have to be way dumber. Have you seen Drew Drogi's Rose Nyland?
No, but I've seen him do Golden Girls Live, and it's great.
It's fantastic. He does Rose dumb times 11, and he's like,
yes.
Wow. You know, and I feel like it needed to be like, gosh, it needed to be way past. And was there any St. Olaf stories? Because I wanted that or something.
No.
That would have been good, I think, to do a St. Olaf story and then have Dorothy yell, because I thought Dorothy needed to yell more at Blanche and Rose.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it just wasn't. It wasn't.
It was not a slay. No, no, no. No one slayed the comedy. I think. And in the 24K, yet like you said, I want there to be more absurd comedy specifics. I want them to be juicing diamonds, and I want the sheets to be so golden that they hurt to lay on.
Yes. And I think about the club challenge a lot. Not a lot, but like watching this, because I was like, the B Club had all of the things a club would have with a silly specific on top.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with the alien room.
Uh-huh.
And to an extent, same thing with Club 96. But I was like, these didn't even have hotel basics.
Yeah.
Like, nobody talked about, like, it was just like, okay, a man will bring you whatever you want. Great. But, like, what else? What else about the room service? Like, what else about, like, a butler or, like, whatever? It was just like, okay, so there's a bed and there's a mirror. And I was like, but what else about, like, is there a pool at this hotel?
Uh-huh.
What happens when you check in at the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was, it was tough. It was a tough challenge.
Yeah, if like you said, I think you said in your critique, like, everyone needed to turn it up to a 10, and they did not.
Yes.
It was all, like, pretty good ideas, but, like, not slayed.
Yes.
India, okay, so I still have so much to say about even the workroom, or like when they're painting the rooms, that was pretty funny too.
Yes, I always enjoy a queen doing a labor.
And Mariah says, I'm not used to doing labors.
Yes, Mariah
I'm not that girl.
Is so funny.
She's so funny. She was a great.
I love her so much.
She was a great, great, great queen. She was so fun. Sad to see her go.
Yes. And before we get into the actual challenge, the girls are getting ready for it.
Yes.
And Cracker and Alexis get into it.
Woo!
Which I think was, I agree with Shay. I do think it was a little strategery on Alexis's part to say something to her right before going into the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's essentially what she did to Angina. In the morning before they had a challenge, she put Angina in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Alexis was like, oh, you like doing that? I'll do it right to you.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, I didn't even think about the timing of it, but I did.
Yes.
I did. Man, I love the drama, but I think, yes, I did agree with Shay. I think Shay was, obviously, she's the most fair. She was like, okay, pump the brakes. You're mad that she didn't say she directly respects you. It wasn't that she was necessarily omitting you. It's just that she was talking about who she's been working with.
Yes. But also, we don't know what was said off camera.
That's
true. So she might have been responding to something off camera, and it was edited like she came out of nowhere. But then also to, like, be doing my makeup and to hear someone go, I respect you, and not hear my name, I might snap around and be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I agree, actually. I see, that's why I do agree. It's like, I have a hard time, because I like that Alexis is being like, hold on, I just want to know, are you omitting me or are you not?
Yes.
And I wondered if Cracker could have been more playful about it. Just been like, oh, no.
I think she could have.
I love
also
all you
think
girls.
She was in her head.
Yeah.
I think she was in her head about not being super into, like, being super helpful in the challenge. And then Alexis came for her. And then she was like, oh, I don't want to offend anybody else.
Right.
I think that's what was happening.
Don't
sweetheart
me.
But I do think she could have been, I think she could have been a little bit more playful with, like, being like, girl, you know, but I don't know. It's just, interesting that Cracker hurt Angina's feelings. People feel some type of way. And now she's trying to rehabilitate herself, or if you, you know.
Right. Cracker, I almost want her to go harder one way or the other, like to either like mm-hmm. laugh it off and be like, girl, no, 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 no. Or mm-hmm. let's go full Sharon and Fifi.
Yes.
And just be like,
let's scream at each other.
You're not my sister. Well, I don't want you mm-hmm. ever saying my name because you are not my sister. That's what I mean. That's the other option, which I'm not mad at. But yeah, I wonder how it's going to turn out for either of them, especially next week when mm-hmm. we get to confront Alexis for voting Shay, because that is mean. That is mean.
Boy, 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 boy. I'll tell you this. When Shay was in the bottom, I freaked out and I was like, wait a minute. We're going to take that chance. We can't take that chance. What if they vote Shay? And they're,
I know.
I was like, I have to say my piece. If I don't say my piece, I'll never feel the same.
You have to take space.
Yes. Which is a new thing I'm doing where I'm taking up space.
Me
like
too.
I nailed it. We have never done a Kwanzaa episode. And this mm-hmm. season I was like, our upcoming season that hopefully we'll shoot. I was like, we have to do a Kwanzaa episode. I didn't say anything because but I need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't believe they let Shay be in the bottom. Are we getting ahead of ourselves?
Well, no, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll pause it a little bit. But I like the conversation we're having about taking space. And I think it's important for anyone listening, whether you're queer or especially a person of color, because I haven't felt comfortable taking space for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally one day just being like, wait a second. Like like you said, I have a seat at the table. Now I have to I need to pipe up at the table
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being the token sprinkle that's yes. allowed to be
and
there.
Just being thankful for being there. It's like, well, you got to do something.
You got to do something. And honestly, I'm not religious, but I love the saying, God helps those who help themselves.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
just like, take care of you, and then the universe takes yes. care of you. So it's hard, but you have to do it, especially with Juneteenth just passing. I feel like that's also another excellent example of like bugging your employer to be like, we need this day off.
Yes.
This will be nationally recognized. We need to talk about it. You can't be afraid to be a kind of person who's like, but I don't want to be the problem. It's like, mm-hmm. no, you're the future, honey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, this is rich. Okay, the other thing I want to say is that made me laugh when they're painting the room was Jujubee is like, the green is drying a lot darker than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis goes, yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yep. Alexis, to me, is so, I said it on the episode, I stand by it. She is so effortlessly funny. She and Vanjie are so similar in that way where, like, you give her 5 minutes, put a camera in front of her, I guarantee you will laugh for half of it.
Right?
She's so funny.
So here's my question then. How do we award points on the scale of accidental funny has been a big...
Yes.
debate in Drag Race history. Like, I feel like when a Valentina does accidentally funny, we're usually like, yeah, but she's a mess.
Yeah, well, I think accidentally funny, I would rather accidentally funny than not funny at all.
Uh-huh. I agree, because charisma is one of the four qualities we need.
And honestly, accidentally funny is great. The only time it really hurts you is if you're in a comedy challenge where you have to write jokes and you cannot do that. But you know what the challenges are beforehand. You can have someone write that shit.
Yeah. And I think, speaking of, this is a good example of how Cracker is very good at being, her writing is very good. Like, her mm-hmm. her writing and, like, she's, in most, if not all the challenges, she's been able to apply her very specific cerebral comedy
mm-hmm.
and had a harder time being in the moment, like you said, on the challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell she wasn't there fully.
Yeah. Which is an interesting thing as a comedy person that, like, sometimes you're, like, so funny, you're so into it, and then other times you're, like, fully in your head. You kind of have to, like, let go at all times in order to be a good comic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's hard.
It's hard. Very hard.
It's hard. You have to trust that you're amazing. You also, it's like you have to have a good idea, follow that, and then also let go of it while you're delivering it somehow.
Yes. It's so crazy. But then also like stay present and in the moment. But then like comedy's hard. Really hard.
It's hard. I want to say we also need to talk about India coming under a golden shower head. Because pee makes her come. And the judges said we didn't like it. What did you think watching her perform with the group? Was it exactly as they said? Was it just
a little? I was just like excited to see India, and I was like, okay, what's India gonna do? India's not great in group challenges, I don't think, because I think she has a hard time figuring out how to stand out. Mm-hmm. And she was with two powerhouses, like Jujubee's so funny, Alexis Mateo so funny.
It's their third time here.
Yes, and when she was like the golden shower, I was like, okay, and
Right.
And that was it. It was just the idea that was funny and then no other thoughts about it.
Right. Yeah. There should have been more. I also don't see how the golden shower necessarily makes sense in the jungle room.
I agree, don't agree.
Okay.
It's just a gold shower head. Yeah. Funny golden shower. Because every hotel has a bathroom where you take a shower. I don't think it was like too much
maybe
to be read into.
Maybe, and I'm overthinking it, but then maybe she should have then followed that pattern and been like, hot Carl here will help you with the golden shower.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it wasn't a thought out idea. They didn't flesh it out. It was just, this is funny, golden shower. Oh, okay, now we're filming. What else do you have to say? Right. Nothing. I thought of nothing else to say.
And in the Glamazone room, Alexa's hairspray popping off. Very funny.
That made me laugh so hard.
And she was like, what the hell?
I think they edited it out. She kept saying wild. She was like, it is wild. This is wild. Rawr.
Tell me more about coming in the room in your onesie, because you looked so cute.
They were like, do you have jammies? And I was like, oh, shit, I'm already on my way. And they're like, don't worry, we got jammies for you. And I said, okay. Yes. And then I was like, oh, onesie. And then I looked at everyone else. I was like, everyone else is in real jammies. And then I put it on. And I was like, I look like a big baby. I have a baby's body.
Yeah, join the club. Me too, girl.
Like, especially in a onesie.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching it with Sashir, and she screamed. And I was like, what? She was like, why are you in a onesie? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, you look like a baby. You look like a big baby.
Yes.
And then I looked at it, and I was like, yeah, like I have a little titties, a belly, and then like little footies on my feet. I was like, yeah, I'm a baby in drag. Like,
the color was very baby, too.
Yes, gray. And then there was a big stain on it after I robed that man for the second time.
Which, thank God, it wasn't yours.
Yes.
So he was all greased up and you got his back grease.
Yes. Yeah, so they were like, you can play with the animals or something like that. And then they were like, rawr, rawr, rawr. And I was like, oh, can I ride him?
Yes.
And they were like, yes. And then I asked him, I said, can I ride you? Is that okay? I won't put all my weight on you. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yes. And I was like, okay. Because, you know, get consent on camera.
Smart.
So then I like rode him. And then the first time he like bucked up. And I was like, ah. And then they're like, we have to do that again. And I was like, okay. And then he didn't buck up the second time. But if he had done it the second time they used that, it would have explained why there was the stain on me.
I didn't notice it too much, I have to say, from watching. I didn't notice
it. Okay.
Yeah. How were the boys in person? Were they fun?
They're so pretty. They're so handsome. They're so nice. I gotta say, RuPaul's Drag Race is one of the nicest sets I've ever been on.
That's awesome.
Just like as a whole, they take care of you. They're nice to you.
That's good.
No one's like rushing you around. There's like, it's really fun. And then they... one of the producers who I like talk to, not like on the regular, but like every now and again, he was like, oh, come watch the girls vote. And I was like, what? So we stood behind the two-way mirror and I got to watch all of the girls vote with their lipsticks. And it was so much fun. It was funny because I brought John Milheiser, my roommate John Milheiser. Mm-hmm. He's my roommate.
And his name's Josh?
John Milheiser.
John.
John.
Okay.
John. But I gotta say, in my book, for whatever reason, there's a misprint, and it says Jou Millhiser.
No.
J-O-U with like a weird like mark, like a Beyonce, I don't know what that's called, mark.
Like an accent above, or a tilde? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, above the capital U. J-O capital
oh, an
U
umlaut?
With an accent. An umlaut, yes.
No.
In all of the books.
That's even better because it's... because he cares.
Yes, yes, he was devastated.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
I can show you the email where I asked him to change it.
Oh, fuck.
But
funny.
Anyway,
funnier.
Jou was Jou. In the bathroom.
Jou was there.
And my friend came by and was like, do you want to see the girls vote? And without skipping a beat, the man who lives with me is like, where's John? I said, I don't know. And he's like, okay, let's go.
Ah!
And we left him. And it was so wild to watch. It's really cool. And then all the queens are so much taller in person than I would ever think.
Okay.
Because I only get to see them sitting or far away on a stage, but like I was like level with them. Oh, it was great. It was so much fun.
We're going to spill more tea on this right after this break. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Bring back my break. No, this doesn't make sense, but you know what? Don't care.
We don't make sense. Drags irreverent. Okay, so you got to see the queens vote with the damn lipsticks.
Yes, it was fun.
And it was a big one because, wait, wasn't the vote breakdown was 4-2-1? Like,
yes, it was really, like,
was
kind
close.
Of wild. And I was like, when they were like, so they, I don't want to give away too much.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious. I'm going to say hypothetically, since I was not there, what would have happened if it was 3 and 3? Because it was almost 3 for Mariah, 3 for Shay, 1 for India.
I have no idea.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I would hate, I don't know. I just, I was like, you can't put Shay in the bottom. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think she deserved to be in the bottom at all.
I disagreed with the bottom.
Uh-huh.
I think the wrong team was in the bottom. I think, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the runway and then get into the final critiques, because I want to hear all about that.
Yes.
So Rue comes out.
This looked even more stunning in person, and you can see it on my face. I'm so happy about it.
She's wearing this neon fur column and a blonde wolf Amadamus wig. It's hot.
It
looked better in person. I love that. And honestly,
my God, it was stunning. Stunning, 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 stunning in person.
I love these colors. She looks like a fucking cotton candy from a Toys R Us clearance. Like, and I mean, because it's the colors of cotton candy, not all the kids want, you know? I would eat it because I'm one of those kids who's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. I'll eat anything.
Neon lemon cotton candy, yes. I also want to say I also look like a baby when I'm naked, and it's wonderful. I just have this sort of like thick toddler body that is like not quite bear, not quite daddy, but all hairy baby. And I'm...
Maybe that's why we're friends. We have baby bodies.
Oh, I hope so. Imagine...
We have adult baby bodies.
I also think about, wouldn't it have been cute if we got to be friends when we were young?
I think about that with a lot of my friends. Like, the other day I was like, what if I knew Gabrus as a baby? Like, I think...
That would have been amazing.
A little baby Gabrus or like a little baby Betsy would be so funny.
Oh my God. Fuck you, man. That's my baby Betsy.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, man.
I love Boots.
Boots. Okay, wait. Alti. Did they make you say the nailed it line?
Sure did.
I could tell.
Well, they didn't make me say it. They were like... here, do you mind? Well, you could say either nailed it or this longer one. Uh-huh. And I was like, because I couldn't think of anything fast enough for like a response.
Sure.
So I was like, no, I could just do the nailed it one. And I gotta say, watching it back, I thought I delivered it a little happier than I did.
I'm not gonna. I
truly thought I had put a little happiness on it.
I wonder if subconsciously you were like, it's so hard for me to be happy saying this because it's hard because I get forced to say it so much.
Well, I mean, like doing it on the show is like truly fine. It's just like this was like the height of when people would like yell it at me on the street and stuff.
Right.
So I was just like, oh, God, golly.
I think it was lovely. I think because I know you, I could tell you were like only 80. You were only 80% happy about it.
Yes.
You look so good. Wait, let's talk about you. You look.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Your eyes and your lovely beat and your hair.
Thank you. So what I did was I did my base just so I wouldn't have to worry about it just in case my friend Jen wasn't working. Uh-huh. Jen does my makeup for like events and stuff. And where did I met her? Yeah, I met her at Drag Race, and then she was working on Conan. And then I was like, I always like what you do. Do my makeup for other things. So we were friends. She does my makeup. But I was like, Jen, she was like, what do you want for your eyes? I said, well, you know what I like. And she went, okay. And then she showed me two pictures. She's like, which one? I was like, this one. She was like, I'm going to do the other one. I was like, okay. And then she fucking killed it. Like, my eyes look so pretty.
They look unbelievable.
She did such a good job.
They look unbelievable. It's blue and fuchsia.
Yes.
And your face is warm. Your lips are plum. Oh, you look stunning. And this color dress is awesome, too.
Thank you. It's from ASOS, baby.
Oh, fuck
yeah. It was like $50. Fuck it's yeah. hard to find nice sequiny things as a fatty.
I love it. And I, man, you look great. I'm so happy.
Thank you. So the runway theme was 3-in-1.
Yeah.
So 3 reveals. And first up, we have
Blair Saint Cabler. Scabert Saint
Bader.
She's giving. So
she's like a flight attendant-y Sunday. Right. No. This is like a Sunday best dressed-y thing.
And then sort of mod.
And then we got a moddy flight attendant look.
I think the first. Yeah, I mean, this was 3 distinct looks. When you think about everyone, some people really took the prompt quite loosely. And this was 3 distinct looks. So, I mean, she gets snaps for that.
Yes, I didn't love the first 2, but that third one,
I agree. They were big on her tiny body.
Stunning.
Yes. Yeah, it was cool. It looked cool. I liked it. Mm-hmm. And I like the hair pulled down. It worked really well with this outfit.
It was 3 distinct looks, and that I liked.
It was 3 distinct looks, and they were all good.
Yes.
Like, there was no trash bag a la, what's it called? A la, God, what's her fucking name from All Stars 2? Alaska's Lil Pound Cake.
Yes, Lil Pound Cake. I love Lil Pound Cake.
I do too, but there was no plastic bag is the first look.
Correct.
What are you talking about?
But then we have Mayhem Miller, who served us 1 look.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to say, obviously. It's 1 look.
I love Mayhem. I think Mayhem is great, but I just thought when Mariah got that note about, like, taking off a jacket is not a look, I was like, then what did Mayhem do?
I know.
Mayhem took off a jacket, took off a skirt for, like, a bathing suit. So her 3-in-1 look was like, I was in the grocery store, and then I got a little warm, and now I'm at the beach.
That is a Myrtle Beach transformation, if I've ever seen one. Where you take off your sarong and it's a new look. Yeah. I did not think it was 3-in-1. I think she looked good? Yes. But yes. I've seen Miss Tyra Sanchez do more on a runway when it was not prompted.
Yes.
Why you talking? But
oh boy, also Tyra's out of her dang mind.
Tyra's developments keep coming.
Wild to watch her interact with herself, essentially, on social media.
She's going ham.
Interesting. She really hates Raven.
She hates Raven, and then she was posting really wild stuff about. I think it's really too much. Just pictures.
Well, just for a person who says that they're no longer affiliated with the drag universe, has a lot to say about the drag universe.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
It's interesting. It's interesting how she's choosing to spend her time.
So then, okay, I want to say your line was very funny when you said your bottom of the ocean line was very funny.
Wait, what did I say that?
You said it during Mayhem's thing. I think it was like, it was some sort of funny bottom of, oh, with that fat ass, you're going to sink to the bottom of the ocean.
Her butt was so good. Isn't it funny how, like, you told me what I said and I truly just laughed at myself? I am my own biggest fan.
Because if you can't laugh at yourself, how the hell are you going to laugh at anyone else? I really do love that. I love that. I make myself laugh, I feel crazy, but it happens.
I make myself laugh so hard. I did a book signing where I signed, like, 700 books. It was a lot.
I bet.
Which is, I'm very thankful that 700 people wanted my signature. But at the last one, I wrote, "Do you like the book? I need to know. Please tell me if you like the book, okay?" And then I went, "This is the last book I signed, LOL. And I laughed so hard that there's probably like watermarks on the book from me like guffawing so hard. I make myself laugh so hard.
Yeah.
It's a disease.
You're very
next
funny.
Next we have.
You're sickening.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alexis Mateo. I personally loved these looks.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make it on air, but everyone was like, the second look was confusing. It was a ballerina. And I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. It's a ballerina at a circus. Uh-huh. Maybe it's a circus you never went to.
Yeah. I could buy a ballerina at a circus. I buy it.
Well, John Milheiser, my roommate John Milheiser brought up, he was like, aren't there ballerinas? Like they walk on the big balls at some circuses. And I was like, right. Yeah, there you go.
I thought it was three different looks. And I mean, yes. that's more than a lot of people could say. All the looks looked fun.
And I love this hair where she drew the baby hairs down.
Yeah.
In a very like Betty Boop look.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I had fun. That's my thing about Alexis. Alexis is so fun.
Yeah, she's so fun. Now, this is not a read on her. It did remind me that I hate the circus, but that doesn't mean I hated the looks. The looks were different. She gave us three things, and it was very funny. I'm sure you can attest when someone's like, maybe Ross is like, is this like the circus? And she's like, yeah. It felt very loaded when she was like, yeah, yes. Man. Yeah.
I mean, yes. It was like, obviously, it's the circus.
Yeah, man. Girl. Okay.
But also, I don't know. I think it might have been cut together. Uh-huh. I think there was more to the end of the sentence. I don't remember. Truly, this was filmed a year ago.
Oh, totally.
Over a year ago. Totally. I think we shot this in May.
Ugh, crazy. Okay, then we have Miss India Feta.
Man, India's a talented queen.
This is the best. I think this is the best she's ever looked.
Truly. And it's funny because it's so like she said she got a lot of shit for the amount of makeup she wore. And then there was like a shady read where it was like, she is not afraid of makeup. Mm-hmm. But I was like, India walked so Trixie could run. Like I feel like one of the first queens on the show to showcase this different style of drag where it's like heavy makeup.
Yeah.
I love her. I think she's great.
It's interesting because back when she was on the show, passing was so much more revered of like being fishy and being a huaman. Yes. And now we're post that because we realize there's some problematic and perhaps misogynistic attitudes towards just worrying about passing, you know?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's just like there's different styles of drag. And yes, like looking fishy and passing is one.
It's one of them.
And a lot of like trans women also do drag. So it's just an art form that I think has like really not quite evolved, but like has evolved on the one show where it's the thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like queens have been doing different things that just haven't been showcased on the show for years. It's just like when it gets into the mainstream, people are like, I don't know about that. You know?
She's evolved so much and drag has evolved so much. And I think she has found a nice place in both. Being true to her heavy paint, which is gorgeous and the best it's ever been. But also, this is fucking fashion forward.
My God, this was stunning in person.
I bet.
The camera did no justice to this.
I bet.
It was three fully realized different looks. And it looks so fucking expensive.
I bet.
And then we found out she fucking made it.
Yep.
Like, it's just so pretty. We've got these, the dress, the wide leg pants.
Yes.
And then it zips off into the most expensive streetwalker you've ever seen.
Truly.
She looks stunning. Her body was snatched. Her titties were huge. It was really fun to watch.
Walking on Park Place, honey. Walking on Boardwalk. You could never walk here. I love it. It's great. And I mean, India, I was very emotional and I felt for her when she was like, I am showing who I am, and it's still not enough. I don't think she should feel bad about it. It's just there's a lot of talented girls here.
Yes, I think that it's a very tough competition. Then we have Jujubee,
which
I really loved this witch look. Truly, costumey Party City out of a box,
honey.
But like I liked it. I did not mind it. It made me laugh, or it was just fun.
I was gagged, and not in a good way, and I'm going to be a cunt and just say, this needs to be better. I like the witch, but then I thought the other, certainly the middle one, is crazy. I love her, but her wig looks like a melted McFlurry on top of her head.
The wig was a little wild.
But to her credit, Jujubee tweeted, because she's a hilarious queen, she tweeted, after she won, she tweeted, "This runway was hard, haha." And I was like, that's funny. Like, she has such a
great attitude.
I will say, like, I was just in a, when we're gonna roast Shay and we're gonna make, look, I'm glad Juju won, but I also was like, girl, Juju needs to up her runways because I'm getting impatient.
Yes, but also this is a valid form of drag. Party City drag, mall drag is valid.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's what she does.
I guess you're right.
I don't know. She's one of those queens who, like, who has so much charisma that you don't really care what she's wearing.
Yeah, I mean, she's hilarious. The carrots are hilarious. Just the big old,
so funny,
grassy carrots are funny as hell. And she said, she also had a funny line when she said, "I wanted to avoid Thanksgiving because I didn't want to appropriate and make pilgrims mad at me." That's funny.
It's very funny.
She's a comedy queen. I mean, yeah, she's amazing. I'm glad she won. It was a great. I just wish, man, if it was just a little bit more polished, I would have been over the moon.
Yes. Then we have Mariah Balenciaga,
aka Mariah Successful.
Mariah Successful. I love her. I love this, like, weird futuristic puffy thing that was fun to watch.
I love it.
Come down the runway.
I loved this look. I like the big furry weird thing in the helmet.
Yeah, it was weird. I liked it. And then we got a short little dress.
Mad Maxine, if you will.
To this beautiful long dress. This dress in person was stunning. It was really pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I do kind of agree to Michelle to an extent that, like, it was not three fully realized looks, but what she served was sickening.
I agree. And I mean, and you have to admit that it's more than Mayhem gave in terms of looks.
I think so.
But they maybe just liked Mayhem's performance more. She did make me laugh. I wanted more from that performance, but she did make me laugh when she said Rebe. I don't even know who the hell Rebe Jackson is, and it made me laugh.
Nobody does. That's why it's funny. Then Cracker comes out in an egg.
Cracker!
I really loved this look. This look was fun. The egg was great. The dress was great. The third dress was great.
Yeah, she looks crazy.
But I love that one of her looks was an egg.
It's so funny. She looks crazy. She looks like Sheldon from this fucking old Garfield cartoon. I don't know if you remember Sheldon.
No.
It's a shell. It's a cartoon that's a shell. And it's amazing. And this is like if the camera dress was from 1732.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it than the camera dress. We can all agree.
Yeah, it was fun and I liked it.
I loved it. I mean, Cracker tore up this runway. This was three different looks.
Yes.
The color scheme was cool. She keeps giving us new hydrated wigs that are very lovely.
Yes, very nice wig. She brought all the good wigs.
God, she looks so funny in the egg. God, I wish it was
so funny.
Yeah, no, she couldn't have, but wouldn't it have been a gag if there was just a bunch of eggs underneath it?
Yes, I would have loved that even more. I would have been like, this is funny.
Yeah.
She's just three different eggs.
Just three different eggs. Yeah, she looks great.
Honestly, I would have preferred her to be an egg and then hatch into a chicken and then be a chicken dinner as the third look.
Thank you. Swanson, mama. Give me TV dinner. Give me kids' cuisine chicken nuggets with that weird little brownie. Come on.
Used to love those dinners that came in the turquoise
me
box.
Too.
But in theory, eating them, I was never excited or happy with how it tasted.
They're nasty, but you convince yourself they're good because you're like, but it comes with everything on one plate, and then the brownie has blue goop for me.
Yes.
Oh man.
Shea Coulee. This was so weird. I liked it. Walked, like, coming down the runway, it was fun. I was speechless.
I loved it. I stood up. I was sitting down watching the show, and then when she came out, I stood up, and I said, oh, she maybe won mm-hmm. 2 weeks in a row, which is why I was very gagged to see her in the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I will say I did not like the second look.
Okay, I think that's fair.
The second look was just a piece of fabric around her waist.
Sure.
But that being said, look one was so much, look three was so much.
I know.
So it was like, okay, so look two was just a piece of fabric, but like, what, it was, I really liked it. I didn't think it looked crafty. I liked the way she painted her face. It was so weird and scary to look at in person.
It was awesome. The wings.
It was fun.
Pupa better work. I thought
it was fun.
I thought it was great. I think it's innovative. I was a little plucked that they put her in the bottom. I was like, you guys are crazy. You guys are crazy.
I wish I wasn't so gagged that when she was coming down the runway, I could have said, it's a cocoon. It's a cocoon. it's a cocoon. And then, you come out of the cocoon.
Yeah.
All of Jasmine Masters season 7.
My name is Jasmine Masters, and I have something to say. Your breath stink. Thank you. I was Jasmine Masters, and I had something to say.
Jasmine, did you even think about rehearsing?
No.
You can't argue what I said wasn't funny. You may not have liked what I said, but you cannot argue that it wasn't funny.
Pop the corn and feed the children. Oh, my God.
I love her so much.
Me too. Who wants to pop the... Okay, we have to go. We have to go,
Miss
or else
Fame
I'll quote all
that,
the...
And I always thought it was funny.
Me too.
Pop the cord and feed the children is so funny. So Jujubee won. Mayhem and Blair were in the top. They won. I was like, maybe no one wins the actual challenge.
Yeah.
And you just pick your favorite all-star.
Maybe. You want to shake them up a little bit. You can say, hey.
And then have them all vote. But would that have been even? Or would that still be odd?
Wait. You're saying no one wins.
That's what I think should have happened. I think no one should have won.
Uh-huh.
I think Jujubee could have been the top performer of the week, but nobody actually won the challenge.
Now, does she perform still? Or you're saying they...
Yes. I'm still saying she lip syncs. But I'm saying...
Everyone's in the bottom.
That's what I would say.
It's possible. I mean, it would just then... Then it would really become a game of Survivor. Because then it's like...
Yeah.
You just need two for anybody.
Yep.
So that would be interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. I think we're building towards a week in the show where they say... everyone is in the bottom. Now the people just need to come together and decide who they're voting off.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we're building to that, where it's just like anyone can go. You just have to communally talk about it.
Yes.
This is interesting.
I think that'd be fun. But should we talk about these critiques?
We should, and especially because you were there. I want to know. So Jujubee wins. She gets emotional. She's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was such a blue ball to 24K to be like, hey, guess what? You were the best, but you didn't win.
Yes. Also, that's why I think nobody should have won, but also it gives you drama for next week to talk about.
Yeah, you're right. It's good drama. Now,
right?
When Jujubee went backstage, why did she not go learn her words?
I don't know, girl.
All right, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that, too. But for now, critiques. Alexis.
Yes, I got to tell her that I think she's one of the funniest queens, which I really enjoyed telling her. They didn't air this, but I fully defended her looks.
Good.
Because I personally liked them. I thought they were over the top and really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And then...
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's strong.
India.
I still want to see her in a wig that isn't a pullback, but we'll talk about that
later.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever seen her with like her hair down.
I know.
India.
Super proud.
Yes. India, what a treat. It was, everyone really liked her look. That was, like, very unanimous. But then it was also pretty unanimous that she could have given us more in the performance.
Yeah. It's interesting, because she knows how to buck. She won the first week because she could fucking buck down, but she doesn't know how to buck in comedy.
Yes. Yes. I think comedy challenges will always just be an uphill battle, you know?
It's that thing we need to give her the note of, the Dita Ritz note of what you just did in the lip sync.
Uh-huh. Is what you need to be doing in a challenge.
Exactly. Find a way to channel whatever that was. This will be, from now on, we need to channel that into your comedy somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Michelle was right. She was with two powerhouses. She needed to do just a little bit more
work. That was the truth. It's a tall order.
And then I did not agree with the Mariah Balenciaga. They didn't like her look. I liked the look. I thought it was stunning. I think her makeup is stunning. And I want it more from her in the challenge. I want it more from all the Golden Girls in the challenge. Yeah.
You can go further with those characters. You can have more fun with old specifics. Someone can die. Someone can start dying in the middle of it.
Yes. Or talk about how maybe Estelle Getty's character, Sophia, died. And that's why there's only three Golden Girls.
Right.
She did.
You could have made the picture this joke or done, like you said,
yes.
Do a runner of it. Picture this, Shady Lawn's funeral home. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
800 Sicilians gathered around the casket. Like you can do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted more.
I know. It's not fair. Doing Blanche is hard, as we learned from RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Yes. I mean, it's just so funny. All you have to do is like watch an episode where somebody does something they revere and it never goes well.
Just go past what you know. Go past that. Mm-hmm. Go past the point of no return. Yeah. Pattern, not plot.
Mm-hmm,
that's one of my favorite comedy notes. Pattern, not plot.
Yes. Pattern, not plot.
Yes, honey. Okay. And then Cracker.
Cracker had, I can't remember what initiated me saying, "Are you okay?" Mm-hmm. I don't know if she was talking or like kind of like you, I could see it in her face while I was giving her the critiques, but like, I was just like, you can't get like this. It's a competition. You can't.
I love the way you did it. Cause I think it's something you're incredibly good at, which is both being playful and direct.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved when you were like, are you okay? I think that's a really supportive thing to do.
Well, you know, you got to make sure. Same thing happened with Trixie on the other episode I was on. She was like crying and I asked her if she was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, I don't even know if that part aired.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was something like, she was like, I feel like I'm too much, but I didn't do enough. And I was just like, I don't know. I have hair jewelry in my head. Like, I'm doing too much at all times.
Yeah.
But, like, I own it. Like, I enjoy that I'm too much.
Yeah. Honestly,
yeah.
Be like Alaska and All Scars 2. All Scars.
All Scars. Alexander Skarsgård 2.
Alaska and All Stars 2 was just like, I'm going to win, and I'm here to win, and I don't give a fuck what you want, and here's $10,000 via PayPal. Which I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Just, you got to fight for it.
Demand attention and demand to win.
Mm-hmm.
Work.
Nobody really liked Shay's look.
I was gagged by that.
I liked it. I was like, it's just so much to look at. It's fun. It's weird.
It was scary.
But it was a real, like, I feel like departure from what she normally does. It was risky. I just appreciated the ballsiness of the look.
I love it so much. And this will go down. I don't like when a critique makes me feel crazy from home, because I usually am like, yes, this was the right choice. This is one of those moments where I was like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this. She's doing something completely new. And then you ding it, which is crazy.
Yes. But also she's so poised.
Uh-huh.
Shay took in all of the critiques truly in stride. And I don't know if they aired it. She was just like, I tried my best and I hear you.
It
was something to that effect. And
she's amazing.
Yeah, I was, ugh. But I was like, she's in the bottom. Like, this is not fair. This is my all-star. How dare you? I was so excited to see her. Like, so, because they don't tell you who's on the show before you get there.
Right.
So, like, I was just like, Shay's here.
And then I was like,
my episode is where Shay's in the bottom.
I know.
And Chi Chi Devane's one of my favorite queens, and she was in the bottom and went home the last episode I was on. And that devastated me. And I was like, if Shay goes home the episode I'm on, I will be devastated.
I smell a stunt. I smell a stunt. I don't buy it. I think production is doing some shenanigans and foolery and goonery. I don't buy
it. Maybe.
I don't buy it. And I also want to say, was there anyone, you know, I don't know. It was just strange. And then, like, the bottom didn't, it all felt crazy because we end up having Mayhem, Blair, Alexis, Cracker, Safe. And then the bottom is Mariah, India, Shay.
Yeah, it was, and it was like a close one. Two people voted for Shay, and I was like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this.
Could not believe it.
Yes.
Crazy.
But then Monet Exchange is the lip sync assassin,
mm-hmm.
who lip syncs against the top all-star of the week. If she wins, then the group vote decides who goes home. If Jujubee wins, Jujubee decides who goes home and gets $10,000. But if she does not win, the $10,000 gets rolled over to next week. It is a lot, but it makes sense when you watch it.
It makes sense when you watch it. I want to say Mariah is very hilarious when she toasts her motherfucking self. Mariah is so funny. I like the shady little conversation they have when we're talking about, you know, and we find out who's voting for who. I did not buy when Alexis was like, I want to know if she's just going to be like, I want you gone, you're good, or she's going to pull a, you had the worst critiques. That's what I want to know. That's what
I wonder. We'll find out next week.
We will. And Jujubee is iconic because she, when she's pulling her lipsticks, just does a monologue about her cats pooping.
Yes, it's so funny.
Holy shit.
I love
shit.
Juju. Juju's so funny.
It was like a fucking college art film in the middle of a normal episode of reality TV. It was nuts, and I loved it.
You love to see it.
You love to see it. God, she's good TV. Also, early in the episode, when she looks at the camera and says, English is her second language.
That was very funny to me. I loved it.
Amazing. Okay, so the lip sync. Let's talk. Monet and Jujubee.
Monet fucking slays. She murders. Jujubee spends a lot of time with her back to the camera.
Which
leads me to believe that she did not think she was going to win or have to lip sync. And then some people are just not good at learning on the fly. Like,
yeah, that's real.
We were talking about this last night. I was like, when productions sometimes do not send you your sides the night before, I'm like, you think I can learn them in my trailer while I'm getting my makeup done? Mm-hmm. I know setups take a long time, but sometimes they don't. Please send this to me the night before.
Right.
Or then I go through the script myself and I print it out for me. Yeah, it's...
It can be stressful. And yeah, so then my question was to you, because you were there in person. Did she throw it? Or did she just not know it?
I don't know if it was thrown. I was glued to Monet. Because, like, I know Monet outside of the show. Mm-hmm. I love Monet. Monet is so funny. It was a treat to see her. So, like, I was just like, Monet! I was just, like, so excited to see her.
She's
so, like,
awesome.
That's who I was looking at.
She's awesome.
But also, she like, killed it. Also, her outfit was cute.
I loved her look. It made me
this,
hungry
like,
for
tangerine.
Orange sherbet.
Black creamsicle.
Remember those Flintstones orange sherbet pop-ups?
Yes, bitch. Ooh. They used to give me diarrhea, but the time between finishing and the diarrhea was magic.
I also just remember being so sad because that pop-up is done so quick. And then
so
you get the little plastic table at the bottom and you're
yes.
like, no!
You're like, no! Do they still sell those?
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get a big one, though. I want one that's like...
Wait.
I want one that's literally like the size of a giant cock. Like, they need to make one... They need to make one that's like the size of like Rocco Steele's dick or like some other some other.
I don't
other...
even know Rocco Steele.
Oh, you'll
Wait,
like
is
it.
Is it Flintstones pop
you're gonna,
up?
You're gonna like the dick you see. I guarantee it.
Pop up popsicle.
I think they're called like pop ups.
Pop up ice cream.
Are they push ups? Are they push ups?
Yes, it's push ups.
How funny.
Okay, I'm looking up. Do they still make them?
Yes.
They still exist.
Yes. And they used to make little
where
ice cream ones with sprinkles in them. I want those
where do
too.
Where do I fucking get them?
Come to my backyard and let's eat a bunch of them.
Come to my backyard
and eat some more ice cream with me. Okay, so yes, Monet slayed it. She looked amazing. It was hers the whole time. I was bummed Jujubee won an episode and lost a lip sync. Another Drag Race first.
Yes. Is that a first?
It is. It is a first. It's her first time winning and her first time losing a lip sync.
That's so wild.
Well, I guess, yeah, I think it's her first time losing a lip sync because she either always makes it to the top three. So she's never sashayed away. She's just been like, go home now. You know what I mean? She's never lost a lip sync. She's just been like, okay, you have to go now.
You have to go now.
Fuck. Which is always heartbreaking. But yeah, Mariah's chopped. And we get a reprise of her season 3 exit. Where she like, that was funny. And she was like, give me my fanny pack.
Give me my fanny pack. She makes me laugh so hard. I really love her.
I love it. And Untucked was cute. And it featured a lot of you playing dirty charades.
Yes, they didn't. They only showed two.
I know.
But I did that for maybe 20 minutes and I got through the whole bowl of clues. And it was very fun because I did a pretty decent job. And Rue was very into it. Rue likes games and it was just really fun. And then the crew was laughing. Mm-hmm. So that felt good. Anytime you can make a crew member laugh.
Yeah.
Is a good day.
Yeah.
At least for me, because they've seen everything.
They've seen it all.
If I get a camera op to laugh, I'm like, okay, this is actually funny.
I think that's a huge deal. I think you should be gagged. Because, yeah, they've seen everything from naked asses pounding to a mechanical dinosaur eating a human. So the fact that something gagged them means a lot.
Also, I met a boy on set during this episode, and I went on a date with him. But nothing came of it. But I was like, and my friend Kara Clank works on the show, and she was like, leave it to you to find the only straight man who works here and go on a date with him. And I was like, I mean, what a dream to have a straight man who fucks me good, just deep dicks me all night long, but then hangs out with drag queens all day. I'm here for it. That's so what I want.
That is the dream. That is heaven. That is that was Maslow's hierarchy of self-actualization. A straight man who dicks down and hangs out with drag queens. That's all you want.
That's it. That's all I ever want.
Well, it was a cute Untucked. I need a little more drama, but Monet coins the word lip living, and they talk about using and being sober, and I thought it was very very cute and emotional, and I'm happy that they're giving visibility to that.
Yes, it is good because, and it's like, it's nice to let people know that you are sober before you tour, because it's like, yeah, most girls work in nightclubs where you're just surrounded by booze and drugs and shit. So it's just like, well, this queen said on the show they're sober, so I'll keep my cocaine to myself.
Yeah, it's an important message.
And you can share it with me if you see me out and about.
let me help you be sober.
Let me help you.
I'm part of
my nickname is Bitchy Vacuum. I will suck up all your white dirt.
I love it. You're rotted. You're wonderful. You are rotted. Next week is CMZ, more improv. Okay, better bring it.
Yes.
Better bring it.
I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Nicole, I'm so glad you were on this episode. You made it 10 million times better by being there.
Thank you.
You really did. What do you want to plug before we go?
Well, my book, Very Fat, Very Brave, is in bookstores now. You might have to ask the clerk for it because someone tweeted at me that Barnes & Noble had them in the back and not on display, which feels good.
What?
Yeah, I get it, though. I'm a fat black woman in a bikini squatting. Maybe someone complained about it and was like, it's inappropriate.
Nope.
I mean, it's not fair, but I get why maybe it's not on display.
I think it's stupid. Your body's beautiful and there's nothing vulgar about
you.
It.
Yes, I have a big baby body.
Take space, honey. That is not right.
I have other podcasts, Why Won't You Date Me, Best Friends, Newcomers, 90 Day Bay, and Nailed It on Netflix is still streaming. You can see all four seasons, two holiday seasons. Yeah, baby, Mana, what do you want to promote?
I want to say buy your book. There's an amazing retailer called SO1 Books here in L.A.
Yes.
that ships directly to you, and you can support a Black bookstore.
Yes.
We also have a list of Black bookstores and Black businesses in our link tree on the Drag Her Podcast page on Instagram. Follow us. You can follow me at Mono Agapian and listen to my other podcasts on Patreon with Betsy Sodaro, called We Love Trash, where we talk about lovely, wonderful trash movies, magazines, celebrities, and food. And one on Stitcher Premium called Too Horny to Recap, where we talk all about the Too Hot to Handle phenomenon on Netflix. Join me there. And before we go, let me read a quick 5-star review, because
yes,
we like to walk in nature with the children. And someone named Gabriela Aleman gave us 5 stars and said, the only RPDR recap podcast, period. Truly feeling so lucky and hashtag blessed that the only RPDR podcast is made and hosted by such intelligent, talented, and hot, funny people, Nicole and Mono. Oh, okay, okay. And then she says, I recently broke my leg at a BLM protest. Oh, no.
Dang. And I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, Gabriela. And while I have been home, this podcast has helped me heal with laughter. And that's the tea. The Shade and the Pink Lemonade. Thanks, beauties, for being the only voices in the darkness recapping the best reality drag competition show.
Aww. Oh, thank you. That was nice and sweet.
That's sweet. Heal up, and thank you for sacrificing so much for the right cause.
Yes.
That is really beautiful, and I want you to get better tomorrow.
Yes. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter!
If you're one of those people who thinks all lives matter, of course they do. But we're just specifically talking about the ones that are marginalized and murdered on the regular.
Murdered
and when we
all
say,
the time.
Support Black-owned businesses, it's not saying I'm supporting them and I'm not going to support white businesses. It's white is the norm. Also, it's hard for Black people to get loans in order to start a business. And a lot of times they're not getting loans from family members. So it's that much harder for them to survive. So it's just trying to help. It's like it's me trying to help create Black wealth.
Absolutely.
To then pass to generations. So
it's really important.
Because I've had a lot of people in my DMs tell me that I'm racist for telling people to support Black-owned things.
That's so
dumb.
And
I don't think it's racist. I think it's me realizing that we start in the red, and to help them succeed, you gotta patronize and spend money.
That's why causes like 15% Pledge are super important. You need to go to 15%pledge.org. They are an organization that's basically asking major retailers to dedicate 15% of their shelf space to Black businesses. And and Sephora has been the first big company to say yes to this, which is a big deal. And if more big companies like Target and Walmart say yes to this, that's just one small thing we can do to help redistribute wealth, because it is incredibly undistributed and only going to the same white rich people it's been going to for hundreds of years, which is not okay.
No. Also, we've talked about this like ad nauseum on the podcast and in person.
I know.
But honestly, I like it.
I like it.
I
it's
like
important.
That we're talking about it. I think it is really important.
We need to talk about it, because we are, as queer people and fan and POC, by POC, if you will, we have always been the voice of change. If you go back and listen to the receipts of pods, we've always been this vocal about it, and we're not about to change. Why not?
Oh my God. I taught you something last night that you didn't know.
What was
it? I was like, more people probably don't know this.
Talk to me.
About George Washington's teeth. Where I was like,
oh my
they
God.
Weren't wood.
I was
they
so
were
drunk.
Teeth pulled from slaves' fucking heads with no anesthesia. So George Washington's not a nice man with wooden teeth. He's a man with other people's teeth, other people he owns teeth.
I had no idea. And I'm now remembering it, but I was so drunk last night that I forgot you taught me this. Yeah, man, that's fucking
Isn't
crazy.
It like it's Black history is it's tough, and it's not good. And the way we're taught it is so wild. Like, I was looking, so I saw this thing online. It was like, don't believe in this, but pictures or don't like fall for this, but pictures of MLK and Malcolm X are usually in black and white to be like, this happened so long ago. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen that long ago. It happened 56 years ago. Or actually, I don't know when his assassination happened. But I know the Civil Rights Movement or the Civil Rights Act was 59 years ago. But like, I was looking at a bunch of colored pictures and I was like, oh yeah, this was like not long ago. This is so crazy that right. like people are trying to gaslight me into being like, this must have happened in 1900 because it's all in mm-hmm. black and white. It's like, no bitches, there's tons of colored pictures. And then looking at the color picture, I was like, this makes it even like realer that it happened so recently.
It's so recent. And if you guys know Ruby Bridges, like the first mm-hmm. black child to be allowed
integrate.
To go to a white school and integrate. Uh-huh. She's 65. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? And she was spit on. She was screamed at. She mm-hmm. was, her childhood was ruined. And she is 65.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of people older than that. So you think it's over? You think we resolved it when this happened in this woman's lifetime who is not mm-hmm. that old? It's just crazy when people won't confront the truth.
It's crazy because I've asked my aunts about segregation and it's nothing they want to talk about. But like sometimes they'll like, you know, let me in on a little bit. But it's horrific. It's the way that black people are treated in this country is literally horrific. And if you think all lives matter, think to yourself, would you like to be treated like a person of color in this country? I bet you the answer is no.
I bet not. Nope, I bet not.
Well, on that very positive, uplifting, fun note, I think that's it.
Well, look, if we're going to be opening libraries, we might as well be fucking opening anti-racist libraries and educating the children. I have no problem on that.
It's so funny. Last week we were talking about IRAs. This week we're like, systemic racism, the lies we're taught. Okay. Bye.
Bye, queens.
Some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum podcast.